Hello, Kyle.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, neighborhood.
Welcome to Funk Radio, your favorite podcast that you're listening to right now.
Yes. Later on, we'll be talking with King Puppet. Was he just the king, or did he have a name?
And Mr. Rogers? I thought, wasn't it King Friday?
Yes, thank you. You're right.
Yeah, King Friday.
Yeah, but it's actually Sunday.
So, Kyle, this topic that we're going to cover today is one that spawned from an offhand remark in our last episode.
As most of them do. What we're going to talk about today is the history of karaoke, which, as of kind of diving into researching, it's actually a lot more interesting than I thought.
Yay.
For those of you that don't know what karaoke is, it's a... I don't know why people wouldn't, but it's a system where you sing along to a usually instrumental track of popular pop songs and are usually prompted by some sort of text of the song's lyrics kind of having you sing along to it, but I guess that doesn't always have to be the case. Yeah, it's basically just a system that allows people to badly butcher popular songs by singing them. It was actually invented in Japan, which I guess makes sense because karaoke is a Japanese word. For those of you that don't speak Japanese, karaoke is actually sort of a combination of two words meaning empty orchestra. I think kara is empty and oki is orchestra or something. I don't know.
So it basically means the orchestra's there, but nothing else, because it's just the music. It's not the...
Sort of.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Japan's well, great. Most of our listeners should already know that because 90% of our demographic is Japanese businessmen.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. Speaking of Japanese businessmen, the...
Something we don't often say.
I know, right? The man who invented the first karaoke machine was named Desuki Inoue. I'm going to butcher this. Desuki Inoue. Yeah.
Okay.
I-N-O-U-E. That last name has far too many vowels for its own good. He was a sort of engineering student who was a keyboardist that would often play at bars in this province of Japan called the Kobe area, which is also where Kobe beef comes from.
Beef and karaoke. What a magical place.
I know, right? So he was, I'm sorry, he wasn't a drummer, he wasn't a keyboardist, he was a drummer. He started playing the keyboard later on, whatever. I'm mixing myself up here. So, this guy, Desuki Inoue, lived in the small Japanese town in the Kobe district. He was a drummer who played at bars, and he basically, would play around at these different bars, but because he would just play the drums, it would be instrumental. And often patrons would want to sing along to, obviously being drunk, would want to sing along to whatever the music he was playing was. So, one day, the president of this small company in the area came to one of the bars that he was playing at, and I guess the guy was meeting with clients or something, you know, Japanese businessmen things, and this businessman approached him and said, something like, Desuke, you know, your keyboard playing is the only music I can sing to. I want to be able to, you know, sing to it whenever I want. So what Desuke did is he went and taped a number of different songs that he played around these different bars into a real tape recorder. And he came back to the bar to show the guy, look, I taped all these songs so you could sing to them. And that was kind of what clicked in his mind as an inspiration for the first karaoke machine.
So did this businessman spark, like, hey, we can make this? Or was
it was just him doing a favor for this businessman that gave him the idea of, like, hey, maybe if this guy likes it and these people like it, I can make a machine that does this.
I see. And then he became a machine.
and then he became the ghost in the shell. So, yeah, so to expound upon this, I actually found a interview that Desuki gave to Topic Magazine in 2005 So rather than just kind of paraphrasing, I guess I'll actually read what he actually said.
So are you going to read it in a Japanese accent? That's the Funk Radio way.
No, I'm going to read it in Japanese and then make you translate it. No. So yeah, to quote him in this interview, he said, quote, "So at his request, I taped a number of his favorite songs onto an open reel tape recorder in the keys that would best suit his voice. A few days later, I came back full of smiles and asked if I could record some more songs. At that moment, the idea for the Juke 8, which was the name of his initial karaoke machine, dawned on me. You would put money into a machine with a microphone, speaker, and amplifier, and it would play the music people wanted to sing. As I attended a Denko, which is sort of a engineering-based high school, in Japan, they have high schools that have that emphasize different trades. You'd think that I could have built the machine myself, but I was always scared of electricity, and so graduated without much of an ability to put things together. A member of my band introduced me to a friend of his who had an electronics shop. I took my idea to him, and he understood exactly what I had envisioned. With my instruction, he built 11 Juke 8s. Each machine consisted of an amplifier, a microphone, a coin box, and an 8-track car stereo. Putting the machines together took about 2 months and cost around $425 per unit. So he built these initial 11 prototypes, which, as he said, was basically a glorified 8-track machine with a microphone attached and a speaker that you could sing into. And he did this back in 1969, but the machines didn't actually kind of become available, so to speak, until 1971. Initially, people really weren't that interested, partially because he had the machine set up where it charged 100 yen, which is about the equivalent of a dollar today, which back in 1970, a meal would cost 50 yen. So, like an average cost lunch would be basically 50 cents. So you're asking people to pay the cost of two lunches to sing into a box.
So you can eat today, or you can sing karaoke.
Exactly, but you can't do both. But once people kind of figured out the gimmick to these things, they actually took off fairly quickly. As I said, it came out in 1971. Initially, it was kind of seen as an expensive fad, but by the mid to late 70s, had become so popular in Japan that they actually appeared in restaurants, in hotel rooms.
Hotel rooms?
Yeah, really? I know, right? Japan's weird. They have gimmicky stuff like that, like everywhere. And eventually, they started having these new businesses called karaoke boxes, which were small compartmented rooms with karaoke machines, where you could have like a small gathering of people, almost like a dinner gathering, but it was semi-soundproof, so you could set up a bunch of these and have people, you know, get together and sing terribly and get drunk without disturbing other patrons.
You know, I haven't done karaoke personally, but if I ever do, I want to do it like that, like in a small room with friends.
I was going to say, it's funny you mentioned that. They actually have these kinds of karaoke rooms at Dave & Buster's.
Really?
Yeah, you can like rent a room and like for a party and like have karaoke shit and get drunk.
Karaoke shits.
Yes. So by the mid-70s, karaoke had exploded in Japan, and by the early 80s, it was basically everywhere in the country. According to Forbes magazine, the first American karaoke bar opened in Los Angeles in 1982, and then obviously it expanded from there. I think karaoke kind of had the height of its popularity in, like, around the world in, like, early to mid-80s before kind of tapering off and then home systems kind of taking over for these venues. So the sad part of this entire story of the invention of the first karaoke machine is that Daisuke Inoue never actually patented
his... Mr. Karaoke.
Yes, Mr. Karaoke. Mr. Roboto. He never actually patented the idea. So he didn't actually earn a lot of money from his invention, because when he first came out with this machine and started, you know, and it started showing up in bars and restaurants, he actually leased the machine to these venues rather than selling it to them outright, so that... They wouldn't have to pay extra for any new songs that, you know, he'd recorded or they'd recorded and distributed to the different machines. It was almost like a...
Oh, it was just how, like included.
How places lease vending machines and then the people who own the vending machines make a chunk of the profit from them. So when people would put in their 100 yen, he would make some profit off that. He basically invented the karaoke machine, distributed it all over Japan, but because he didn't patent it, didn't really make a whole ton of money. He actually said, quote, I could have patented it, but at the time I didn't have any idea. I just wanted to help some local artists in a local band so they could do some business. Because initially he recorded, you know, himself playing drums in the bands he worked with, and then basically just used that as a way to promote them. But then it exploded out of his control, basically.
That's pretty funny. So before we move on to the next section, I guess, of this episode, I'm curious just like of your initial thoughts of all that, because that's a fairly interesting history. I guess my main thought with all of that, because like I knew it was a Japanese thing, but really beyond that, I didn't really know anything about it or its background. I actually kind of would have guessed it would have started earlier than 1969.
I guess not. I mean,
because you think of, like, I think there's been many times where we've talked about, you know, this technology or that technology, but we realize, oh, it was actually invented like 30 years earlier than we thought it was. I mean, that's still, you know, a long time ago, but it's not, you know, like, I thought that maybe there'd be some rudimentary version of it in like the 30s or something.
Yeah, it is actually interesting that it really... It wasn't really popularized until late 60s, early 70s. I guess if you do want to look at the technology side of it, they actually had these things called, this is kind of weird, they're called sing-alongs. You could record yourself singing, but it wasn't like over an instrumental track. It was you recording yourself over the over vocals. So I guess that's where a little bit of the difference comes in.
Wait, so this was before karaoke, or...?
Slightly before.
This was a variation of it.
Yeah, it was popularized in the early to mid-60s. Okay. It actually says here, from 1961 to 66, the American TV network NBC carried a karaoke-like series called Sing Along with Mitch, featuring host Mitch Miller and a chorus which was superimposed the lyrics to their songs near the bottom of the TV screen for some audience participation. The primary difference between karaoke and sing-along songs was the absence of a lead vocalist. And that obviously popularized the idea of people singing along to songs, and then they made it so you could record yourself doing it. It's weird. So, technically, this idea cropped up in the early 60s. It's just the machine that popularized it wasn't built until the 70s.
I guess that's an interesting distinction with sing-along songs versus karaoke, because really the difference being that there's no vocals playing. It's just instrumentals. This reminds me, we actually did also do an episode a couple years ago about sing-along songs. More accurately, it was about, basically we were talking about like how some songs are easier to sing along to than others, and just discussing which ones we like to sing along to.
I mean, it kind of fits in. People, the songs that people like to sing in karaoke are probably songs that are easy to sing to, you know, the lyrics are memorable or whatever.
So
that's again how the karaoke machine was kind of invented. Getting into a little bit of the technology of it, as Inoue,
Mr. Roboto.
Yep. As he kind of said, a basic karaoke machine consists of a music player, a microphone input, a means of altering the pitch of the played music, and an audio output. Early karaoke machines used 8-track cartridges or cassette tapes with printed lyric sheets, but technological advances in the 80s and 90s obviously replaced these with CDs, laser discs, and DVDs. In fact, in the late 1980s and 1990s, Pioneer dominated the international karaoke music video market, producing high-quality karaoke music videos inspired by the ones that were seen on MTV. So they would basically create like karaoke versions of them that had, you know, the lyrics or whatever and the little bouncing ball or something.
Was the beginning of like video karaoke versus either just doing it from memory or reading it from a piece of paper.
Exactly. Yeah, video karaoke didn't take off until kind of the advent of things like MTV, you know, when music videos themselves became popular. Right.
When that technology basically became available and affordable.
Mm.
Which it was not in the early 60s or was the late 60s, I guess.
What's funny, too, is I guess in the 90s, South Korea, because they're crazy, actually tried to put karaoke machines into taxi cabs.
Hmm.
So when taxi people were transporting drunk people, they could have fun singing karaoke.
God, I would hate driving one of
Yeah, I would just be like, please kill me, please kill me.
Oh my gosh. Before we go any further, Kyle, should we take a very short break?
I think we should.
Okay. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Peter.
Do you know what a website is?
No.
It's a thing on the internet, and you can go there, and it's fun.
Is that where I can find things to do?
Yes, you can find things to do there. getyourfunk.com is a website for Funk Radio, and there you can find our episodes there, and you can listen to them, and you can download them. And we have a tip jar. Do you like money, Kyle?
I love money.
Well, people will give us money there at getyourfunk.com.
Yay!
Do you have a favorite episode of Funk Radio?
I like the one about butts.
Well, at getyourfunk.com, you can use the search bar and type in butts, and it'll pull up our episode that we did a while back about butts.
Yay!
And now back to our previously scheduled content. We're back. Sorry, we had to take a quick break so Kyle could sing one of his favorite songs.
I needed to warm up my singing voice for the karaoke. As I was saying, karaoke, obviously, with the advancement of technology, exploded. And how we mentioned earlier that Japan had these little compartmentalized things called karaoke boxes, these small rooms where you could gather. Private karaoke rooms actually took off and became commonplace in places like Toronto, LA, New York, Chicago, San Francisco. Mm. Koreatown in Toronto, Canada is actually an example where even to this day, the popularity of these karaoke rooms is growing to the point that private rooms actually require reservations on weekends. So it's still a popular thing. Now, this is something I wanted to kind of drag you into, Peter, because I found it funny.
Okay.
I found an article in the New York Times that actually kind of highlighted that Portland, Oregon is actually one of the karaoke capitals in the U.S. Were you aware of this?
I was not aware of that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, they called it the capital of karaoke in the United States. And because of that, actually, they commented that it's kind of one of the more exciting music scenes in America because people are using these karaoke venues. They don't even necessarily always have to sing along to pre-recorded, like, you know, pop songs or whatever in these karaoke venues. They'll bring their own backing tracks and basically just, you know, have electronic music or whatever or drum beat playing underneath, and they'll just perform as if they were, you know, performing sort of a mini concert.
Interesting.
So these karaoke venues are kind of even used in Portland as sort of mini, I don't know, music clubs, if that makes sense.
That's interesting. I've never heard about that. So actually, something I had, and you graciously did all the research for this one, and I thank you for that, Kyle.
Uh-huh.
I had asked you what the most, like, if you could find, like, what maybe the most popular karaoke songs are.
Yeah, that was a bit tougher.
It sounds like you found a few.
Maybe. I found a few. That was a bit tougher than I thought, because there's no, like, organized body that determines, hey, this, you know, there's not like a top 100 for karaoke songs. So
in Billboard doesn't have a karaoke chart,
unfortunately. No. So exactly, yeah, I was hoping to find something like that, but instead I found all these articles that said, you know, top karaoke songs, or, you know, top karaoke songs of 2017. So I kind of looked through these charts and found the ones that a lot of these charts referenced to get, you know, well, like a lot of these different articles referenced and kind of cherry-picked. I'm like, okay, these songs seem to be ones that are always popping up in these top lists. I'm sure there's plenty more. These are just ones that I came up with that basically I'm sure 90% of people know at least half the lyrics to. One is Billie Jean by Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Almost inarguably his most famous song besides Thriller, but Thriller is more of a dance than a thing than a song, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so Billie Jean, Michael Jackson, huge, huge karaoke song. No coincidence that it was popular around the same time as karaoke bars were at their peak in the U.S. in the mid to late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to play an instrumental of it?
Sure. Remember, listeners, you have to sing along, and we'll know if you don't.
Yes. Billie Jean is not my love. See, I can't even do the Michael Jackson voice. The next song that I think would probably inarguably be one of the most popular karaoke songs is Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. The reason I find this one so fun is the lyrical complexity of the songs and the propensity for people to drink while they're doing karaoke means that this is probably the most butchered song in music history. And I'm even sober, I probably couldn't get all of these words right, let alone drunk. So let's play a little clip of the instrumental version of that so the listeners can sing along.
I didn't even catch that.
Last song in our top three of popular karaoke songs is Love Shack by the B-52s. This is one of those songs... Most of these karaoke songs, I think, are popular only because 99% of people know the chorus, but 2% of people know the verses. So everyone mumbles through the verses, and then when the chorus comes on, you know, everyone knows that, so they sing it. I can attest to this because I've been to many weddings, and they always play Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond, which is another popular karaoke song, and nobody knows the verses, but as soon as the Sweet Caroline chorus comes on, everyone just loses their shit. It's kind of funny to watch. White people singing badly is really fun to watch.
Well, we hope you lose your shit to this next song.
Yeah. Here's the instrumental version of Love Shack by the B-52s.
And remember, you have to sing. Santa's watching.
I don't know if they're still around, but I remember... For a while, there was a chain of stores that were often in malls that sold beanbag chairs. And the store was called the Love Sack. And I always thought that was really funny because it reminded me of testicles.
It's an interesting tie-in to Love Shack.
I know,
thank
right?
You, Kyle.
Welcome. So, because of that, the Love Shack always reminds me of testicles.
Well, maybe our next episode can be about beanbag chairs. Owned by famous musicians.
Maybe.
So our next one is B.B. King, and he had a big-ass beanbag chair.
that he died in.
God. They buried him in the beanbag.
I was going to say, if I die, I want to be buried in a beanbag chair.
And so do people keep it and they sit on it with you, your dead body inside, or do they do something with it?
They bury me in a coffin, but then the coffin is built to... fit a beanbag chair that they just lay my body in.
Okay.
No, they don't put my dead body in the beanbag chair, Peter, for people to sit in. Why is it so lumpy?
When we were talking about the technology stuff earlier, I was thinking about, like, so what is, like modern day, what is, like, the next steps for karaoke? I guess it's one of those things that's always going to be based in that setting of, you know, doing it in a bar with other people around.
Mm-hmm.
I did do a quick search and found that there are several karaoke apps that you can get.
Oh, nice.
You know, you can play the instrumentals of any... I assume there are instrumentals of any, you know, like it's including like a bunch of pop songs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just sing at your phone, I guess. That seems a little dumb. But I guess if you're with your friends and you want to sing a song and you need an app to do it, then go for it. One of them is Sing by Smule. And I remember that we were talking about Smule recently because they also made the IMT Pain app.
Oh, yeah, the Auto-Tune app.
That we discussed maybe within the last 10 episodes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Why were we talking about that? I don't remember what topic that was.
We were talking about the different types of audio modulators.
Yeah. That was 5 episodes ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Now I remember. Anyway, so I guess the same developers of that have a few different apps, and one of them is like a karaoke one.
Nice.
But there's plenty of others out there, too.
Peter, I think you should go on Yelp and try to find a karaoke bar near you and go to one and report back to us.
Sounds good. Well, apparently I'm in like the wonderland of karaoke, so...
That's what I'm saying. There's probably like 10 around you didn't even know.
Maybe I'm in one right now.
Life is actually just a karaoke machine. We're all just singing along. That was deep. So, I didn't grow up during the height of karaoke popularity in the 80s and early 90s. So
in Japan?
Well, like I said, it kind of blew up around the world by the 80s and 90s. So, yeah, I didn't get to experience, you know, getting drunk and singing terribly with friends. Though, considering how shitty my voice is, even when I talk, singing is probably out of the question. So, even if I was around during that time, I would be like, I will die before I sing.
Well, think about it this way, Kyle. Two things. One, it's never too late to start singing karaoke, because it's still around and alive today. And two, if there's anything that karaoke has taught the world, is that anyone can sing no matter how their voice sounds or how drunk they are.
So I'll make a deal with you. Next time I come out to Portland, we'll go to a karaoke bar.
We will find the most hipster karaoke bar possible.
Yes.
And we will sing there and be discovered.
I can dig it.
You listeners can do whatever the hell you want. But first, like us on Facebook at Get Your Funk Fuck at facebook.com/getyourfunk. Oh, I'm terrible. You can also go to getyourfunk.com and look up those episodes that we mentioned earlier on about similar topics.
As well as any episode in our repertoire.
Yes.
And if you like us enough and are happy that we didn't sing for you, you can go to our tip page at getyourfunk.com/tipjar.
Slash tips. I think if you have a few different URLs that you call it, but none of them are accurate.
If you don't change it to just the tip, I will be sad.
I think I was going to add that in tip jar as ones just so people wouldn't go to a broken page, but whatever.
Just go to getyourfunk.com, find the tip page because I don't know the URL.
There's literally like 4 links on the entire website. So
There you can give us money because,
but you won't.
We like money. And you know what you can do with money? You can buy Bitcoin. And you know what Bitcoin is? Fake money.
Yes.
We're going to come out with our own Bitcoin called Funkcoin.
Oh, Funkcoin.
It's
going to
be based
cool.
on the Ethereum blockchain.
How do people just start? I'm not going to get into this. We're at the end of the episode. I'm not going to start an entire thing about cryptocurrency.
And don't ask me because I really don't know. I really don't know anything about it. Okay. I have a couple bucks in them, but I don't know how they work on a programmer level. I just know they're magic and people think they're worth a lot of money, so.
Just like us. All right. Well, we hope you learned a couple of things about karaoke and are inspired to go sing it yourself. You can do that until the next episode, which will happen sometime in the future.
Yay. This has been your karaoke host, Kyle.
And this has been your Japanese businessman and host, Peter.
I was going to say, next time you see a Japanese businessman, be sure to go up to them and thank them for karaoke.
Are you telling me that or the listeners?
Both.
Okay, fair enough. We are not good role models. Bye, listeners.
Bye.